I wanted to continue on the path of the things of Proverbs, but you know, even in Proverbs, it talks about some things, and we've shared for the last couple of weeks on that, and we'll continue to, because today I was wanting to look at some of the things, and quickly, in the Proverbs, we ended it last week about, you know, what can we get from reading Proverbs? What is the strategy that helps us live effectively? And I think of today that we have to live effectively, and there's always been problems and things in life from the get-go. Nothing's new under the sun for situations in lives and families and communities or whatever. But we find that Proverbs is so helpful that it starts with the wisdom of God. You know, the beginning of wisdom is fearing God. It talks about requirement is our moral application. You know, the things that we have in God's Word, it's things that He has given us not to just read it and put it on the shelf and say, oh, that was really a nice verse. I'll read it again next week, you know, when I need something, you know, warm and fuzzy to help me feel better. No, it's things that we are to apply to our life every day, amen? God's Word is to be applied into our lives, into our families, into our jobs, into whatever the circumstance is out there on a daily basis. It also requires practical application. So moral application is trusting in God and His Word and allowing His Word to speak to us personally, and then we are willing to obey it. Now, there's two things there. God's Word does speak to us, doesn't it? God's Word speaks to everyone in here. When you read it, it speaks to you. But the flip side of that is, but do you obey it? Are you willing to obey it? And that's where sometimes we have a problem with people where they hear the word, but they don't obey the word. We hear the word, but we don't obey the word, and then we have frustrations, we have problems, we have distress. But you're saying, well, Pastor, you read the word and you obey the word and you got problems and you got frustrations and stress. Yes. But I don't live in it very long because I turn it over to God. And I wonderful that TJ was able to share, but, you know, we begin to see things change. You know, we deal with things in the spiritual realm of praying these things, but then we really begin to see when the things change in the spiritual realm of what's going on in you know, the attacks of Satan and all these things, and also stuff breaks, okay? Mechanical things are made by man. Things that man makes breaks, and so we just have to live with it, amen. But when those things happen, we believe God is there. God will protect. God will give a way. God will make a way. God will bring something. He will work in the natural as well in causing things to work together. All things work together for good for those that believe and trust and that they're serving God in that right measure. So, you know, we see these things happening, and that's when I was sitting out on the bench Wednesday night. I guess it was just one of those times because I felt abandoned. Nobody came for prayer. Nobody came for the Bible study. So I'm just sitting out there on the bench. Okay, Lord. And TJ did show up, and so we just sat out there, and my wife was here doing some things in the office. And so we just kind of had a father-son or whatever talk, just sitting on the bench, how things are going, situations, blah, 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 blah. And just hearing all the things he was going through was weighing me down. It's like, oh my gosh, you're kidding. You know, it would rock your boat if he would just start listing all these things. But so, you know, just that, and why would I have said that? You know, I don't know what God is, you know, showing you in this or what he's going to bring forth. But, you know, there will be something comes out of this if you're paying attention, that God will bring something to this. We all go through that. So even in our lives, and, you know, we have a situation, it's okay, Lord. I'm not denying the situation is there, but I'm going to learn something from it because I'm going to see your hand move in it because my faith is going to be there that you are there for me and that you will rebuke the devourer, you will open up the windows of heaven, you will do this, you will do that, whatever the case might be, you will make a way where there seems to be no way, you will somehow, Lord, I know I'm going to come through this. And I'm asking you, Father, and I just want to see your hand move it, change it, do whatever. And so we have wonderful times with that. And even though, you know, I shared where my wife had fallen and fell on her artificial knee, and that's a dangerous thing to do, praise God that, you know, nothing damaged was broken or the bone or anything chipped or anything like that, because when you have that appliance in there, generally that appliance is a lot stronger than the bones that it's in. So you have probably a probability of that thing like that, and oh, great, now you've shattered a bone even more. So praise God, that didn't happen. It's just a matter of swelling, discomfort, bruising. So, Lord, take care of the bruising. Take care of the discomfort, you know, and He will do that, and He is doing that. Praise God. It's not one of these things where you go, oh, God, why did you allow this to happen? No, it's, okay, God, this has happened, and now I'm coming to you, and I believe and trust in you, and this is what I'm looking for, this is what I'm expecting. Do you ever tell God what you're expecting? Or do you just go, okay, God, whatever, you know, like, once I, somebody was saying that prayer is not just saying, do you pray, and it's not just saying, well, Lord, just bless me today. No, you've got to go out there sometimes, and you've got to project those things out there. Even this morning, just a little bit, talking about, God, you're here today, God, you're in my tomorrows of next week, and we're going to go there, and you're going to be there, and we're going to overtake whatever's out there, Lord. If it means bad things for me or whatever, Lord, you already know it. God already knows what my Friday is going to be next week. I wish I would have known what my Friday was this last week. Maybe I would have prayed even harder. I don't know. But that's when everything just kind of fell down and came crashing down to a point. But no, the Lord already knows that, and he knows what's happening. And so we've got to be willing and strong enough to say, Lord, nothing can come across or affect me that you can't take care of, that I with you can't take care of by my faith, by my trust. We just thank you, Lord. It's going to be a testimony. That's kind of like the things what TJ goes through. It's like, I don't know what God's going to show you in this, but there will be a powerful testimony coming out. Well, it's not like, what happened to the water saw? Everything's working in time. All these things develop. It's like, how does all that explain itself? I don't have to explain it. I just know when you begin to pray to God and lift things up to him, even though you may have failed in the beginning, but you go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. I kind of left you out of the equation. All this stuff started happening, and I just got so saturated with the problems and this and that, and I had to think about how I was going to take care of it, and what are we going to do now, and what's the next step, and what can I do to this, and how are we going to handle that, that it happened so quickly that we push God off to the side because we're living in the what? Now. The problem is now. The situation is now. What are you going to do now? That's kind of like embedded in us. And especially the man, it's like, I can take care of this. I'm going to take over and take it and do it by, force, whatever it is. But we got to get to the point to where when those things begin to happen, we got to step back quickly and say, oh, Lord, I turn it over to you. I let you, Lord, to have this and help me. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. What to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, whatever. So we find in Proverbs, and then one last part of this, four applications. Remember, it's like it starts with God's wisdom, which starts with requiring us to have a moral application of being willing to obey God. It requires us to have practical application, acting on God's directions in daily devotions. And then we find out that the last result of that is effective living, experiencing what God does with our obedience. As we are obedient, God, it really opens up the floodgates of what God will do in his blessings, amen? By obedience that he comes and he will take care and do these things. That's throughout the Old Testament and throughout the children of Israel and all the things that they went through. They were down, but then they're up, and then they're up, and then they're down. A lot of times when they turned around and they began to obey him and obey and be obedient to his word, God's provisions, God's blessings, God's protection, God's whatever began to do what? Show up and take care of things. Awesome stories that are within the Old Testament. We see and read these things over and over and over. By reading those things, it encourages us in today, into my life as well. So we know that obedience is really that factor in there. Faith, but obedience and obeying the things that God has asked us to do. That really sets it on that level of God in your life and seeing it being having an effective life. Being effective. I want to be effective while I'm here. Do you want to be effective? And what is that? Well, I just want to be effective. If I went to that service on Wednesday, I naturally went in at first thinking like, well, Lord, they're not part of the church here. I don't really know their background. I don't know what they believe in healing. I don't know where they stand with this. I don't really know. But then all of a sudden it hits me. I'm not the one healing them. It's not by what I say. I go in faith knowing that as I pray and as I touch them with oil, or even not even use oil, even if we just pray and lay hands or whatever, that it's not me having to perform. It's not me healing that body, healing that stress, healing that mind, healing those finances. It's none of those things that I'm doing. But I'm going out there in faith because I know my God. My faith is in my God, and I know what he can do. They may not know what he can do. They might be ye of little faith. They may be still sinners. But God has moved on sinners as well and has moved in their life. Those that were sick had no relationship with Jesus, but they were healed. So we in a church want to set up our priorities saying, well, I would pray with those people out there, but I really don't know where they're at with Christ, so I can't do that. I better make sure, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? And I start putting it into a structural type thing of man, ritual things and things of that nature, when I just need to go out because I know, I hope you know, wherever you go as a child of God, that he goes with you. In your job, wherever, I don't care where you go, pumping gas at Quick Trip, Casey's, I'm standing out there by the gas pump, the Spirit of God is with me. He's there. He's around me. Praise God, because wherever I go, he goes. He only goes because I invite him to go. Lord, be with me this day. Here we go. You know? And remember, he's there. So, you go out to these situations, whatever it might be, work, ministry in an area that's not a church. I don't go alone, I go with God. And so we just want to be found obedient. Found obedient of being sharing of that of the good news. The good news needs to be spread out there. The things that God has done needs to be spread out there. What Jesus accomplished needs to be spread out there. And we need to share these things in just regular, normal conversations as the Spirit leads, as the conversation leads, as the question is asked, you just begin to talk about it. You don't need to say, well, wait, let me run out to my car, run back in and sit down at the table and we'll start opening up a Bible. Okay, let's go through it, man. No, it's not that at all. It's just as the Spirit leads, you just begin and you go by faith. By faith, God will give you the thing to say. God will give you the thing not to say. Might be where you just say, Tim, shut up and just be still. Okay. And allow the Lord to just drop something into that situation, you know? So we had a wonderful time. Not everybody had prayer and wanted to be anointed. But that's okay. I offered it to them, and we walk away from it, and we'll just see. I believe some good reports, you know, next month I get back there, that they'll come up and say something in their situation. And even I had one person standing in for someone else that's going through cancer. I said, that's awesome that you're kind of like the intercessor. You're right there bridging that. You know, you're taking it on. Say, here, I want to stand in for this lady. The doctors have given her no hope. She's at the extent of treatments and all. I just want to stand in. I said, that's awesome. Let's pray. What's her name? Did you do lift her name up? Thank you, Lord. Pray for the person that's interceding. Lord, I pray for this. I can't think of her name now. I just lost my mind here, in my memory here. But I pray for her that's standing in for, you know, this lady. Let your hand go forth. That is what's so powerful and exciting about prayer. You just let it go. Yeah, I didn't know TJ was even going to have this prayer or war room thing on. I've heard about it. We talked about it, and I knew it was coming out, and I've done some searching on it, and I know there's a Bible study and some studies out there that will be out there. It's out there now, really. So, you know, that type of a situation. But it looks like here in Proverbs 2, where we've got to understand, where it says, my son, attend to my words. And this is Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Recline or incline thine ear unto my sayings. 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? My words. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And then in 4:22 in Proverbs says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So we find in God's word healing and living and life and things to do for how to get through this time that we're here on this side of heaven. And so we want to be doing those things. Amen. And we find also, you know, I guess I want to open this up and just kind of like see where this is kind of heading to, is I want to have a time of prayer. I really hadn't planned on it this morning, but then just some things hit me this morning. knowing people in the hospital now, and my wife and her situation, and Al and his treatment or his test coming up. You know, the thing about it, guys, is don't be scared of tests. Now, that's good for me to say because I am. But I'm trying to learn, you know. It's like, okay, Lord, let's just go. Let man test me out, okay? You know, find out what's going on. But, you know, let's go, and they say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Okay, let's do that. And, Lord, I just lift you up right now, and I'm just turning this over to you, and I just pray that a good report comes back. I pray that whatever needs to be will be, Father. I pray that if it's something that's big and that needs to get small, shrink it, Lord. If it's something that's there that shouldn't be there, take it away, Lord. You know, if I'm low on something in my system and it needs to be higher, and elevate that in my blood, Lord, so it's a better factor, whatever the case might be, so we can have these things that we go through. And it's good to see Blanche here today. It's been so long, Blanche. Have you had that treatment yet? Or are you? I thought it was like the 14th you went to. Good. Yeah, well, don't say for how long, just say it's working. Don't start walking in doubt. Don't start bringing it up there like, well, it's working now, but it might not, you know, because those are the things that the enemy likes to hear. The enemy likes to hear us waver. The enemy likes to hear like, oh, well, they prayed about it, and oh, God, he touched them and he healed them. But now I've heard him say, well, it may or may not. And so that gives the enemy that thought like, oh, well, if there's still some doubts, apprehension in that person, the devil will magnify it. You know, he'll know what your problem was, and even though you're healed of it, he will do his best to try to amplify some kind of a symptom of it. So now you got the symptom, even though it's gone, now you get a symptom of it, and all of a sudden your mind naturally begins to start thinking like, oh no, it's back again, you know. And I'm not saying anything that I don't deal with. I have a mind, believe it or not. Sometimes people say, Tim, where's your mind at? I said, well, it doesn't take a lot of space right in between here, you know. But I have those things that I deal with as well. That I've got to. But see, the thing is, people, is that when you begin to realize these things and what your thoughts do and what is happening, it's not to deny the circumstance. It's not to deny the illness. It's not to deny whatever the case out there, you know. But it's to say, I see it. I understand it. But I'm going to pray against it, or it's going to be healed, or whatever the case might be, you know. So please don't walk in denial when you've got a sore thumb. My thumb doesn't hurt. My thumb doesn't hurt. And the thing goes boom, boom, boom. My thumb hurts, you know. All right, just say it. My thumb hurts, but it's not going to hurt forever, whatever the case might be. And during that time that I was there at the apartments, I shared some of the testimonies of things that I have seen in my life, and those around me shared your testimony, Dawn, and I need to take a couple of books there because there was a lady that I prayed for that had MS. And when I found that out and I prayed for her, I said, I'll get a booklet to you, you know, and have you read it from a lady in a church that had that same thing and was healed of it. So it's our testimony. It's these things that we, believe it or not, guys, you've got to go through stuff to have a testimony. And when you get that testimony, it's up to you and it behooves you to go forth and to share what God has done. Because as you share it, it encourages that person. And as you share it, it brings it to light in your mind again. And it increases your faith or causes your faith to begin to get stronger again. Because the longer we get away from it, sometimes it starts going down again, you know? But it encourages you just as well. So it's one of those things, life is going to happen. We're on this side of heaven. We're in life, so things happen. So we know that as we think these things happen, that we are going to be strong in God, and by that, and God is going to be there for me. Talks about in Isaiah where by his stripes we are healed. It's things of his atonement on the cross, all these things that were accomplished that we read in the old, we see in the new. We find that I was even sharing, and you think about it, I said, God, I don't understand all the things of God, and I don't pretend to, and I really don't need to. I can anoint you with this oil, and miraculously you can be healed. I said, but that's not the magic potion. I said, I could be, wasn't it like Peter? Didn't he walk in the shadow of him or something? Like, I said, God has healed people by just walking. Peter walking in the shadow fell upon them, and they were healed. I said, God has his own way of how he's going to do things, and all we've got to be is just be obedient and just, You know, nothing else. Just do it in the normal day of living, and God does the rest. But the thing is, we've got to be obedient. When God says to go do this or go at least present this, don't sit there and say, well, I don't know if it's going to work, God. You know, it may not work. We've got to get those things out of our lives or out of our vocabulary and say, okay, Lord, let's do it. You know, let's go. Let's show your love. Let's show how much you love these people. And so there's so many things in the Word that helps us understand these things. We can't tie it down to one thing. Because God, I know His Word says, you know, it doesn't change, but God does things differently in how He wants to accomplish things. Now, we've got a tremendous amount of background in the Bible of all the things He's done and how He has done them, and a lot of that today will mirror that of the past, but even, you know, it talks about His mercies are new every morning. Yeah, I don't know, you know, He's a God of grace. How He's going to handle things, how He's going to work things out, it's not for me to consider or to try to figure it out, because that's really probably what the devil would want me to do. Spend all your time trying to think this out. How is this going to work, Tim? Because pretty soon, if you get your mind in it, remember, you get your mind into it, your mind will talk you out of it. Or your mind will talk you into it. It's one or the other. So we have to remain strong in our convictions of knowing who God is, what He is in your life. Come to find out, like this lady that shared on Wednesday, that I want to stand in for this lady. It's like, well, that's awesome. Because remember that story where that centurion came to Jesus, wasn't it, and said, my servant is sick, come and pray. Or the other one, that my daughter is sick, come and pray. And Jesus didn't run right there and pray. She was healed at a distance. And when Jesus did go, even with Lazarus, I mean, he was even in the grave for a couple of days. It's like, hurry up, go now. It's like, he'll be there. He ain't going nowhere, you know? So it has accomplished things that Jesus was showing the people back then. And then he went there and he had to say, Lazarus, come out. Huh? Unwrap him. Bring him out here. So, you know, it's phenomenal of all these things that happens. I mean, I've read stories where people have been in the morgue, dead, or they thought they were dead, or something happened, and all of a sudden, you know, the morgue worker's down there, and they hear this person ruffling around in the drawer they're in or something. I don't know. It's like all these things that happen, and it's like, how do these things happen? I don't know. I don't have any background of why that would have happened in that person. Was somebody praying, oh, Lord, or, you know, I don't know. But we, even to this day, we find and hear things like that, don't we? It's like, oh, my gosh. So even Jesus didn't need to be there to heal somebody. He didn't need to touch them physically for them to be healed. That little woman that was in the crowd of people didn't even have to touch His flesh. She just had to touch the garment of Him. And power went from Him. Virtue, power went from Him to where? Her. And all these people in the throngs of people around Him, He goes, hey, who touched me? Oh, Lord, there's like 5,000 people around here. I mean, we're all touching and bumping into each other. But at that time, He felt something different. The difference was all the others around Him were just around Him. That one there that touched the garment, she had expectation. She had the expectation that when I did this, something different was going to happen. And so that's what we have to live in today, is when someone prays for you or when you pray for someone, you have to have that expectation that it's going to happen. God's timing, whenever it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, I know we cop out on it sometimes, and we say, well, if he's not healed on this side of heaven or she's not healed on this side, when she goes to heaven, there's a perfect body there anyway, and they'll be healed there. Well, there's truth to that. You know, it's not really a cop-out. It's just an affirmative thing saying, either heal me on this side of heaven, because I know I'll be healed on that side of heaven, but Lord, I just trust you and have faith in you, and I believe in you, and I love you, and I know you've not forgot me. I know you've not put this on me, but I'm going to still love you and worship you and give you honor and glory no matter what happens. Because we're here on this side of heaven for temporal time anyway, in what we're doing. We just want to say, Lord, I just want to fulfill what I'm to do for you here. If I've not fulfilled it yet, extend my life. If I haven't fulfilled it, heal this from my body so that I can accomplish what you want me to accomplish, not what I want to accomplish. You know, the greatest stories are those that, you know, when they do go home to see the Lord, they just, you know, they just went to bed last night and they just went to sleep and phew, went to heaven. No pain, no discomfort. And it's like they were just called home, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Now, there's a lot of things in life, and there's a lot of terrible things that take place in people's lives and deaths and things of that nature that aren't always that good, you know. And that's where we have prayer, too, and ask the Lord to be with those families as they transition through these problems and just the sadness of it. I mean, we live in a world that is just going bonkers. There's a down in Texas, sheriff's deputy, filling up his gas at a gas station. What's he? He just, guy comes up from behind him, shoots him and kills the deputy just because he's a law enforcement officer. You know, it's these crazy things. I'm going to tell you, if somebody will go and kill or shoot a police officer that's enforcing the law, and they don't mind that life, they don't care about your life either. And see, that's that lawlessness, and that's those things that happens and taking place out there. That's why it's very important that churches around the nation pray for this nation. That's why churches need to have prayer within the prayer of the church, so that churches are effective in doing the things that they need to be doing. We are kind of like, I believe, as a church in our country, we're kind of like that watchtower. We're that out there of praying for this nation, for protection, and for keeping things somewhat balanced, whatever that is, you know? And we find that when we don't do that in our churches, and they really haven't been doing probably effectively like they should, and us as well, I mean, we're just as guilty as the church down the road, the church up the hill, the church in the valley, whatever, not doing what we should be and not standing where we need to be for our nation, for our state, for our city, that, you know, things happen. And the things begin to develop. So, but that's not the end of the story. Amen. Because we can come back into that and we can begin to take ground. We can begin to pray. We can begin to come alive again and begin to walk in the power that God has given us, you know, and pray God's protection over this or that, or pray God's changing of these things. And he's just waiting for his people, because it says, when my people humbly pray, I will hear them and I will heal their land. So God is into healing of land. He's into healing of bodies. He's into healing of marriages. He's into healing of the mind. He's into healing of finances. God is into healing of all these things to help us. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but that excites me. Praise God. So quickly. 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. If your soul, my soul's prospering, praise God. Child of God, Lord, I'm born again. My soul is prospering in the things of Lord. I just love you. And so as my soul prospers, so with my health. It looks at, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 9:35, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now we read all these things and it's like, well, that's pretty cool. That's nice. Hold on just a minute here. Luke 10:8. But now we get into where Jesus sends out the 70 in Luke. And we think about a lot of times, well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Of course, anyone he touches or anyone he prays for is going to be healed. Or even if he just speaks it at 1,000 miles away, they'll be healed because he's Jesus. Well, now Jesus is giving some instructions to the disciples. And he's talking about sending them out. And he does say in 10:2 that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. So therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. It's going to be a rough time out there. You know, we're lambs going into the wolves, but we'll survive. Hallelujah. And it goes on and it talks about going into a town or a city and going from a house to a house. And it says in 8 that whatever city that you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. You know, that means that, you know, you might think you've got a restricted dietary type thing because, oh, I'm not supposed to eat this or eat that or whatever. But if you go into a city or a community and that's part of their main diet or that's part of their main thing, and if you don't eat that, they think that you don't like them or that you're offending them by not doing that. I think Jesus is saying, hey, and like what he said, you know, what I have blessed, don't you curse. Talking about, I think it was that, who was on the roof, and you know, this fabric and this tablecloth is coming down, you know, because it's like, ooh, you know, religiously and ritual things, I shouldn't touch that, shouldn't eat that, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. And a lot of people even carry that over today, but God back then is saying, hey, what I have blessed, it's going to be good for you. Right. Now, it might be for the person next to you, they might eat it and they might die because they didn't bless it. That's why we bless our food. That's why we thank him for it. That's why we just say a blessing over those things because of that. And it's not just, oh, and please, you know, just, oh, Lord, bless this food and thank you for it. Amen. You know, just, you know, sometimes you have to be in prayer even over your meal. We've heard of people saying to the waitress, we're going to bless our food and you're serving us. How can I serve you? And I'm going to go to pray over our food. Is there anything that I can pray about for you or your family, you know? And some will say something, and some will look at you like, who? And they'll go, nothing for me, you know. But see, you've made that effort. You've made a contact. You've put something in that person's thought like, oh my gosh, those people pray over their food, and they ask me if there's something that's in my life. There are some out there that do have a lot going on in their life, and they would be thankful for anybody to pray over them or pray with them, you know, because they're just inundated with so much. They'll say, well, you know, I'm having this, or I'm having that, or this or that. We'll lift that up too. So we go out there and he says, whatever city you enter and receive, eat such things that are set before you. And then here in verse 9, this is where he's talking about, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So it gives us a thought process, but now we go on, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to my eye, dust, you know, wipe off, you know, knock off. It's, don't let it bother you. You know, you go into a situation, I'm going to pray for somebody and you know, hey, I'm going to, and they don't want to receive it. Okay, I won't pray for you. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to like, oh man, what's, did I say something wrong? They just didn't like it. What's going on? No, I say, okay, you just need to go. I need to go. You need to go. Just go to the next, because there's someone else down the road, somewhere else down the city or whatever that's going to sit there and say, yes, please pray for me. And you want to be effective in those areas. Amen. So we get to that point in time. I want to pray, and I want to open this up for those that would like prayer, that need prayer, that need healing. You know, I say need prayer. Need healing in their physical body as well, you know. I want to lift up and stand in for my wife. I want to stand in for my son-in-law. Right now, he's in the hospital. Probably in the next couple of days, we'll be having a pacemaker put in. You know, so you talk about what kind of week have we had? You know? A son-in-law that's just maybe turning 40-ish, you know. Then my wife fallen and bummed up knee, and TJ's, his household is just going like falling apart, and mechanical things for him. But, you know, these things happen in all these families. And so, you know, it's like in Lester, Pat Bush's cousin, he's back in the hospital. I think he might get out today, but he went back in, possible obstruction again in his intestinal area or bowel or something like that. Incisions not healing up in the proper place, so a lot of things happening there. So, you know, that, you know, and Al, you know, MRI, you know, and just talking with Wayne, you know, you're back, you know, we want to lift that up, you know, Blanche, you know, you've had that procedure, but we want to pray that there is a completion and a continuation of the good bacteria in your system, and that whatever is bad is gone. Hallelujah. And that you have freedom from that. And I know you've talked about carpal tunnel and other things and aches and pains, and, you know, we have all this stuff happening to us, but we need to walk in those things. We need to say, I am done with it, Lord. I'm just going to turn it over to you. And I pray, Father, and I thank you for touching and healing this body. And I've talked to them at well on Wednesday and saying, and don't hesitate to ask the God, how can I help this healing along? Because I've had instances in my body where that's happened, and I've shared that, where I knew he touched it, but I actually, after about 2 or 3 days, I finally had to say, well, Lord, Is there anything that I need to do that could push us along, or is there something that I need to do? Now, it's not by works, it's not by things like that that this healing takes place, but it's the knowledge of understanding of what should I do, Lord, to help this along? Well, just lay on the floor on flat on your back and just lift your legs 3 or 4 or 5 times straight up and down just to help that muscle be stretched or that tendon in your back or your side. Do that for a few days. Hallelujah, you know, healing that, and it's like, it's gone, you know. So it's those things that God is an instant healer. He'll heal it instantly. But I also think there's times that it's like, what? That's like, you know, it's kind of hard to pray for somebody to lose weight and they keep going to get cheese curds and stuff. Guilty. Went to see the doctor. Well, Tim, your weight's come down a little bit, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. What are you going to do? I said, it's Culver's fault. It's those dollar cheese curds, dollar concretes, dollar calories. You know? He kind of laughed. Yep, that happens. You know? So it's kind of hard to do those when we do things that put us that way. We're all human. You know, it'd be neat to stand before you to think that, ooh, what a godly person that pastor is, and he just doesn't have any problems with any of those things. We struggle with those things, and then it's by that of God just saying, ding dong, Tim, you know, if you don't do this, it'll do this, blah, 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 blah. But so I think there's things that we need to sometimes do to help those things along, or to let the Lord know, hey, I just want to be obedient. Now, if the Lord said, Tim, there's nothing you need to do, I'd say, well, praise God, okay, you know. But when he gave me that thought process, it's just like Pat Marco shared about, you know, she said I had fallen and crawling across the floor, took her a while to get across the floor. And she says, while I'm down on the floor, I just felt the Lord tell me that I need to strengthen my core muscles. I said, wow, that's great. That's probably what you need to do then, you know. So there's things that we do to help along those things that God says, do this, and I'm doing this, and let's work together, you know. So God is good. He loves us. It says that if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. You know, all these things is, you know, we die, but yet we have eternity, and the Spirit of God lives within us. So I just want to encourage those that would like to have prayer and to let's have prayer. What's wrong with that? You know? I think so.